Rudolph's my hero, leaving all the mess. You know my hero, one that's all. There goes my hero, watch him as he goes. There goes my hero.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon, and welcome to The Cure Radio Show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, with my better half, Boris.
Well, I don't know if it's better half.
Even though he doesn't like to admit it. Well. Our show is available live on your radio, also through our app, The Cure, on any smartphone, really. And our website is godisthecure.com. Again, that's godisthecure.com. Like, the cure. We are broadcasting today live from Miami through satellite, available in radios in more than 11 states, among others, and soon after the show, on any podcast player. This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone, and in this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor of child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have experts in several fields and inspirational speakers that are willing to help us with valuable information. As we know that education is necessary, awareness is completely crucial, and comfort is always needed. I do believe we all suffer, or have suffered from something, or will suffer something, and we hope to be a source of healing for each other. My healing came from God, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be very challenging, but always know there is always someone who cares. There is always hope. The song we played earlier was My Hero. I got the idea to play this song because, you know, the musicians really showed heart when they put a concert together. And for the coronavirus. And so this, My Hero by Foo Fighters, brought tears to my eyes because there are many heroes. We have come to recognize so many heroes, some we didn't know of, and some we overlooked. Everyone in the front lines fighting the pandemic and risking their lives for others. Those that are still feeding and supplying us. Those that bring humor to the global crisis and social media. The musicians that really showed heart. Those keeping us safe and those coming to our rescue. Those are all heroes now. Of all the many heroes that have risen from this tragedy, our greatest hero is God. Just trust him and watch him as he goes. The last 2 weeks we spoke about the COVID-19 pandemic, what it is, how to prevent it, how it's treated, its effects, the isolation effects on our mental health. We keep coming up with more information and more challenges, and we all have different ways of handling things. And the world is focusing on basic survival and human needs. We want to continue talking about mental health, but what about people with psychiatric conditions, like schizophrenia? How do they deal with the situation? And we have a special guest today, Robert Francis, author of the book On Conquering Schizophrenia, From the Desk of a Therapist and a Survivor. Robert was diagnosed with schizophrenia in 1995, yet that didn't stop him from finishing his master's degree and becoming a licensed clinical social worker, overcoming this disease. And he hopes that his experience with schizophrenia can be a very trial to the victory of others. Robert, thank you for being on the show.
Gee whiz, it's my pleasure. to speak with you, Amy, and Boris, your better half, too.
Well, I'm just in the background, so you'll go right, Amy.
Okay, Dr. Boris.
And let me tell you, Robert, you are a very, very special and loved guest. I just want to let you know that. Because you have overcome something amazing.
You have such a peaceful and soothing voice.
Thank you.
Nice to talk to you.
Robert, a lot of us don't even know what schizophrenia is. I mean, unless we have a family member or a friend or we know of someone. Could you briefly explain what it is?
Well, it's one of the more serious mental health conditions there are. Usually it lasts a lifetime. And it usually comes on around 20, 22 years old. Not always, but usually. And some of the typical symptoms are delusions, auditory hallucinations, and mood disturbance. People often hear voices. And believe things to be true that are not true. Those are pretty much the defining characteristics of it.
Wow, that must be so difficult. I'm sure there's a lot of misconceptions about schizophrenia. Can you share some of those?
Certainly. Well, perhaps, not always. Sometimes in the media it's portrayed as somebody who's incapable of controlling their behavior, which is not always the case. And it's always usually also wrapped around perhaps the person being violent. But if you look at the population, Amy, just as a segment, a person with schizophrenia is no more prone to criminality than the rest of the population.
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention that too. Thank you, David, because that's actually...
Robert.
It's Robert, I'm so sorry. This is actually one of the most common misconceptions about schizophrenia, that people think that they're violent.
You know, it's not really their fault. It's the environment. It's the media. Anytime you see a show that has bipolar in it, they're always showing the extreme of bipolar 1, not a bipolar 2. And that's just what we see. And that's why we have people like Robert. I can share with us otherwise.
Try to set the record straight, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of those because I get you. I get you, Robert. But tell me, what you get these hallucinations and things that are so real. They're very visual and you really hear them and they're so real. Tell me, what are necessary ingredients for a person dealing with schizophrenia? What is it that they need to get by?
It's a combination of factors, as you might imagine, Amy. You know, family support certainly helps. To have a social network around the person certainly helps. The lone soldier in schizophrenia is often a difficult combination. Oftentimes people need support from family and friends and a social network. In my case, and not everybody, I have been on medications for over 25 years. I've been on the same meds for 25 years, unaltered, no dosage changes, and I found something that works for me. And it's actually, I'd like to mention the name of the med. It's called Clozapine, and it's very effective for many people.
Nice.
But there are some barriers to being able to prescribe it.
Okay.
But that aside, that is certainly something that is needed. In my particular case, Amy, I only recovered via God. If I did not have the Lord or His presence in my life fully, I wouldn't be able to be doing what I'm doing now. So for me, my relationship with God was part of the cure.
That is an amazing testimony.
See, that's why you're on the cure.
That is an amazing testimony, Robert, because just the same way that you see things that are not there and that you hear things that are not there but are super convincing, that's what I was thinking when Pickpocket was convincing me of things that were not true until I read The Saints Who Battled Satan, and I found it was Pickpocket, but God is the one that guided me to that book. Otherwise, I was believing things that were not true either, and I'm not schizophrenic.
Right.
So how do you distinguish things like what's real, what's not?
Oh, that's a daily battle, Dr. Boris.
Yeah.
It's a daily battle. It really is. It really is. Every single day I struggle with what is real and what is not. And my conclusion has come to the only thing that's real for me is God. The rest nice. Of it, I can't figure it out. And I'm okay with that. I've learned to live with that ambiguity about other people, what about they may be thinking, what I'm hearing, what's going on otherwise. I don't know most of the time. But I've kind of reconciled that and become comfortable with that disposition and that perception. But I lean on God heavily for all matters.
That's the only way I can do it, too. I get bothered all the time without being schizophrenic. And, you know how there can be paranoid schizophrenics and, oh, they're looking at me, they're after me. And then I just tell myself, oh, it doesn't matter. God will protect me. Oh, we're not going to have enough. Oh, it doesn't matter.
Right.
God will provide.
Right.
So you
get
all.
It's true. Because if you offer it up and you leave it in God's hands, then
that's the only thing that can cure any illness, even cancer. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We will continue talking about schizophrenic with Robert Francis when we return.
And his book on conquering schizophrenia from the desk of a therapist and a survivor.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
I don't wanna fall asleep, I don't wanna pass away. I've been thinking of our future, cause I'll never see those days. I don't know why this has happened, but I probably deserve it. I tried to do my best, but you know that I'm not perfect. I've been praying for forgiveness, you've been praying for my health. When I leave this earth, hoping you'll find someone else. Cause yeah, we still young, there's so much we haven't done. Getting married, start a family, watch your husband with his son. I wish it could be me, but I won't make it off this bed. I hope I go to heaven, so I see you once again. My life was kinda short, but I got so many blessings. Happy you were mine, it sucks that it's all ending. For too long, don't go to bed. I'll make a cup of coffee for your head.
I'll get you up and going out of bed.
Yeah.
And hey. Don't stay away for too long. Don't go to bed. I'll make a cup. And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back. This is Amy Cabo and Boris, and thanks for tuning in. Remember that you can listen to the radio show live through the app The Cure under Amy Cabo. That was Deathbed by Pofu. This song is super soothing. I love it. I can imagine God guiding us gently, saying, don't stay awake for too long, and I'll make a cup of coffee for your head, the way Boris does every morning. Life is short, and we have had many blessings. It may seem like it's all ending. Again, I hear God saying, don't stay up stressing. Don't be sad. Don't get mad. Trust me instead. With the sun, I'll wake you in the morning. He will get us up and going out of bed. It helps me appreciate every day. We are talking to Robert Francis, who is helping us reveal how to deal with schizophrenia, especially in these trying times, from the unique perspective of a survivor and a therapist. Robert, earlier you mentioned your faith in God was an essential ingredient. How did you come to acquire your faith, and how does it help you in coping with your schizophrenia?
I guess in a sense, in a kind of general sense, Amy, I've been very spiritual since childhood, and it was something I always tapped into. But along the way with schizophrenia, I've had a lot of trial, and I've had to turn to God to help ease my burden. When you have a peace with God, you know, the details of life don't matter so much. God is the bigger picture, and my issues and problems are kind of
minuscule
and smaller.
Minuscule. Yeah.
So it's basically not like curing you, but just making you cope with it to an extent so you can live a normal life, which is great.
Absolutely.
Well, of course, the closer you get to God, that's the more you should expect Satan to bother you and try to get you to go back. That's only normal. That's only natural. If I were to double, I'd do the same thing. So, but how about religious ideations? Is there a chance that they will experience something that's clinically so-called as religious ideations? I mean, you wrote this about in your book.
On Conquering Schizophrenia, from the Desk of a Therapist and a Survivor.
Yeah,
right?
Making sense of it.
That's right, Boris. So one of the symptoms of schizophrenia is what they clinically call religious ideations. And I've had multitudes and continue to have so experiences where I feel like I'm in touch with God. Now, if you look at it clinically, a professional might say, well, you're having religious ideations. They're not true. You know, it doesn't do you any favor to entertain those kind of thoughts. But I've done pretty much just the opposite. I've opened my arms to such experiences. But the one thing that I have learned, which is essential with schizophrenia, is you can't act out on my ideations. In other words, if I think I'm interacting with God, I can't say anything irrational to other people about that experience. So I've learned to keep my experiences within my own mind and not talk about them in a social context, because it really does no favors, and people will think, you know, oh, he thinks he's talking to God. He, you know, it's a red flag. So I've learned to keep my experiences quiet and within my own mind. But I experience them to this day. I experience God every single day, and I feel God touches my life. I just learned not to say things that people would equate with religious ideation of a schizophrenic.
Right.
I could say I believe in God. I feel God's presence, but I can't say I was interacting with God in the supermarket today. People would say,
Right. Well, if they know you're schizophrenic, because not too long ago, I went to a convention where this lady that wrote a book, she said, when I was younger, I danced with God. Now, was God really there dancing with her? Did she really dance with God? Yet she doesn't have a mental issue. So that just means she's spiritual or close to God. That's the issue with having a mental issue. That they think it's part of your illness or condition. And, you know, you could just have a good relationship with God. I mean, I wouldn't think anything of it. I'd say, great. Everybody has their own experience. Yeah. And I know life is not easy. It's the harder route. But we handle it much better. And we feel more at peace. Robert,
and
but
when God is number one in your life, everything else falls into
just fall, order. Yeah.
That's nice.
And everything comes together, one way or the other. I never had perfect timing. Now I do. Robert, what has living with schizophrenia taught you about life and people?
Wow, existential question.
Say that again, Dr. Ford?
No, just a very big question, sorry.
Yeah. The trials of schizophrenia has really, I mean, it's a punishing disease. And one of the most difficult parts of it, Amy and Boris, is persecutory feelings that everybody's out against me and everything. But people are against me. It feels like people are against me. It feels like people in my environment are hostile. But when I offer it up to God again, it's funny because the fires in my environment turn benevolent when I have peace with God. But if I don't have peace with God, it seems that the people are hostile. But if I tap into God's benevolence, the perception shifts and people are kind again.
That's amazing. That's amazing, Robert. Just really quick, because we're about to end the segment, Robert. What would you tell the parents of an adolescent newly diagnosed with schizophrenia? Or it doesn't start at that age group?
Yeah. We've come a long way in the treatment. Don't believe the stigma around the illness. Get educated about the illness and know that your son or daughter can recover and go on to live a regular life. And don't let anybody else tell you otherwise.
Unfortunately, our time really flew so fast, Robert.
Thank you for being on the show. And remember, Robert Francis, super interesting book on conquering schizophrenia from a desk of a therapist and a survivor. And it's got metaphysics, philosophy, and theology. Amazing.
And where can they find it? In Amazon and where books are?
Yes, anywhere where books are. Either way, it will be in
our
website.
It's on Amazon, yes, of course.
And we'll also put the information on our website as we do with all our guests.
Of course.
Thank you so much, Robert.
God bless. It's been my pleasure entirely. You too.
Okay. Thank you. So when we return, we'll continue with the very existential question right now, I guess, about the pandemic. We'll help with suggestions, answering some questions, and we'll tell you some new treatments that are emerging.
You're listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
So I never really knew you. God, I really tried to. Blindsided, addicted, thought we could really do this, but really I was foolish. Hindsight, it's obvious. Talking with my lawyer, she said, where'd you find this guy? I said, young people fall in love with the wrong people sometimes. Some mistakes get made, that's alright, that's okay. You can think that you're in love when you're really just in pain. Some mistakes get made, that's alright, that's okay. In the end, it's better for me, that's the moral of the story, babe.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in. Remember, all shows are also available as a podcast. Look for The Cure with Amy Cabo.
If anybody has a question about the pandemic, COVID-19, please give us a call, 1-866-34-TRUTH.
That was Moral of the Story by Ash. I love this song. All I hear is some mistakes get made, that's all right, that's okay, and I can't sing. But that's what I love about this song. I first heard this song when I was feeling regret, and that's God's sweet way of saying, it's okay that we make mistakes. He knows in the end is better for us. That's the moral of the story, that no one is perfect. We are all human, and this coronavirus has demonstrated we can all be just as equally vulnerable and equally beautiful. Thanks to God who sees past our mistakes as long as we're always trying. We are going to continue talking about COVID-19, the pandemic, and its effects on us, because it's something that's really weighing heavily on all of us. And today we have our special guest, Dr. Boris Nikolov.
Wow, a special guest. That's so cool. Thank you. So I became from a background singer. Sorry, background co-host, a special guest. Thank
producer
you.
To guest.
Wow, that's cool.
He wears many hats.
Nice.
Folks, please wash your hands frequently. Keep the social distance 6 feet away and try not to touch your face. I know it's hard. I do sometimes.
That's for me.
That's how the virus is transmitted. And if you do touch your face, wash your hands all the time, whenever you can remember. Boris, there's a lot of talk now about wearing masks in public. What do you think about that?
I think that it's actually a good idea. The only problem is that don't use the medical masks because they're really scarce right now and they're needed for the medical personnel. But you can always make yourself a mask from some material like clothing, or you can buy probably one of those material masks on Amazon or anywhere. And then the important thing is to wash it every day and try again not to touch your face even though you have a mask. And don't think that because you have a mask that's all you need not to get it, because that might, you know, lower your guard. And that's not the idea. The idea is for you to keep the social distancing anyway and just wash your hands.
And also, for those of us who do not sew, in case Amazon, all the employees get sick or quit, there is a way to do two paper towels and fold it, like fold it, and then fold in the ends and then put two rubber bands and put it around the ears.
Really?
It's really cool. You can make your own with a paper towel. Two of them. Two is better than one. And if you don't get it, you could always Google it. But it's possible. I saw it this morning.
Well, you can always sew yourself a mask.
So, yes, so. But a lot of us don't sew. Dr. Nicolo, what is new on the front of the treatment? Please inform us.
Well, there is a lot of studies ongoing right now which medication can be used for the COVID-19. And there is no clear answer yet, but there is the most promising medication that is coming up is the hydroxychloroquine, which is a medication for malaria, but
with erythromycin.
With azithromycin, but not necessarily. The studies actually show when you use hydroxychloroquine, reduced duration of the disease, a reduced admission to intensive care unit, shortness of breath periods, the fever gets resolved faster, and people don't need intubation, so don't need ventilator. That is actually done in intensive care unit. But it's still not approved by the FDA to treat COVID-19. Though in other countries, like China and some countries in Europe, are becoming part of the protocol to treat coronavirus.
Approval should go out the window when we're in a crisis and people are dying. And if they're dying, and it's better than nothing.
Well, actually, FDA approved it now for out-of-use special circumstance treatment for COVID-19.
Look, if I'm dying and I can't breathe and I'm feeling horrible, I don't care if it's approved or not. I'm taking it.
I agree.
And also there's your own antibodies for those who have recovered from COVID-19. And they want to know within 2 weeks of your last symptom.
Yeah, there is a lot of others.
And you can save up to 3 people. And you can prevent the infection in others.
That's a really good thing, actually. And it's still under investigation. It's under a clinical study, too. And then if you need to use it in a situation that you have COVID-19, ask your doctor to go check about that.
Well, always call your doctor first. Don't just rush to the ER because you think you have COVID-19.
Yes, please don't go to the ER unless you are really feeling sick.
The problem is that, you know, when you go to the ER, you can be around other sick people and you can get them more sick, or you can get more sick. You're also using up the resources that are needed for people that are very sick. So unless you're struggling to breathe and you need a machine to do it for you, just take Tylenol, rest, lots of liquid, eat well, and
You can call
it. You should survive this.
Okay. Okay. But anyway, you can call your doctor. Call your doctor.
Yes. You should always call the doctor and let them know so that they can help you. It's really important because we all need to just be honest about things and realize that bad things can happen. Diseases can happen. Illnesses can happen. And the important thing is that we're all in it together. And we need to pull together. And realize that nothing lasts forever. And realize that God will provide. And realize that everything's just momentarily. In fact, we don't live in a third world country. There'll never be not enough. Things will always get replenished. The vaccines will come out. There's already treatments. And aren't they working on a vaccine already?
Oh, yes. There are maybe 11 companies, big pharmaceutical companies that are working on a vaccine now. But this is a solution not for this moment. It's going to be available for mass distribution probably next year.
They say a year. I highly doubt it. I think it's going to be much less.
Well,
it's needed. It's very needed. It's going to be much less timing. I don't think it's going to take that long. But, Dr. Nikolov, is our health care system working? Can we handle all these cases of coronavirus infections? Is there anything we should concern ourselves about?
Well, the healthcare system is working. There is certain places that might be overrun, but then the government is preparing, like with extra hospitals, like the army medical ships are helping out. New York is one of those centers right now, the so-called hotspot. But it seems like they're getting over the peak now.
Speaking of New York, I don't understand why Cuomo is asking for so many ventilators when there's a 50% chance of survival in a ventilator, yet he's blocking life-saving medications, which is like neglect. But, you know, if they're given these medications, there's not so many ventilators needed. So that's my take on New York.
Well, there is a lot of statistical models that are not necessarily true. Some statistical models say that New York, for example, will need only 10,000 ventilators, which they do have. So,
well, Cuomo was saying 30,000.
Yeah, 30,000 is for the whole United States, the statistical model that I just read.
Okay. Well, hopefully it doesn't get to that point. The thing about this new medication, the acetromycin, hydrochloroquine, that thing.
Hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, that one. The thing about it is that the spikes that are on this coronavirus, it takes away their efficacy. And the cell does not become so friendly to them. The cell won't accept them. So it actually stops the virus at its tracks.
That's why it's more effective in the beginning.
It reduces the time of symptoms, the time of fever, and the person feels well. It's almost like, I think, what, a 90% success rate for the trials that they've had so far? 99? Who knows?
89%.
Super successful.
Yeah, it seems it's working.
When we're back, we'll continue talking with Dr. Boris about the novel coronavirus pandemic. We would love to hear from you. Call us with your questions. 1-866-34-TRUTH.
1-866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
Just a touch, baby. I look around, since the city's cold and empty.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for watching. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. The song that just played was Blinded by the Lights. Or Blinding Lights, sorry, by The Weeknd. I was on my own for long enough. I lived the dark side, felt cold and empty, and I could not see clearly with God gone. I was drowning in the night until I felt God's touch, and now I'm blinded by God's light, which has taught me to love better, forgive easier, live in gratitude, grow stronger, serve others, have faith, and encourage hope. It's like a whirlwind from the time I wake until I sleep. Even though the city's cold and empty, it doesn't matter if others judge me, because I'm blinded by the lights.
I also want to remind you about the contest we started. Let us know suggestions for a song that we can play on the show through our contact us page on godisthecure.com, and if we play it, Amy will pick it up, you will receive a $25 gift certificate.
We're talking with Boris.
That's me.
About the current pandemic, COVID-19. Trying to give you guys some more helpful information, if possible. Because I know that you probably know so much already.
It's so popular in the news now.
But, we know that, you know, they were saying, Boris, that the higher risk individuals were those with underlying conditions and those that were older age. And this virus is so new to us that we're discovering many things. We thought that the young adults, they didn't have to worry about it, the millennials. But kids have gotten infected, not so many.
Right. The virus apparently doesn't distinguish who gets infected. The difference is certain group of people are more prone to get severe complications. And this is people above 60 or people with serious conditions, specifically diabetes, high blood pressure,
heart diseases,
asthma, immunosuppressed patients, and they're more likely to get more severe symptoms that require intensive care unit, intubation, and the need of the ventilators.
And what are the symptoms? Because there's so many symptoms. The regular symptoms are fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. But other things, like loss of smell. And there's gastrointestinal changes as well.
Well, there can be any symptoms, basically, that are related to any respiratory infection. From sore throat, runny nose, headaches, muscle pains, the shortness of breath, the difficulty breathing, diarrhea, nausea, variety of symptoms. So if you have any idea that maybe you had a contact with a COVID-19 infected patient, please call your primary care physician and they will be able to help you.
And you can have all kinds of weird symptoms. I was sick not too long ago, and I thought I had COVID-19. And it was the first time I'd been sick also all winter. And I just treated myself like a COVID-19 person. And I thought I was sick, and I had the weirdest symptoms. Like a rash that you couldn't see on top of my lip that I only knew hurt when I put lotion in my face. That kind of thing that could only cure with Neosporin. So you can get really weird symptoms.
Yeah, but I don't know if you had COVID-19.
And it was so surprising and so new to me. I thought, I must have COVID-19. I'm probably dying. But that's the dramatic me. Of course I didn't die. And of course I came negative COVID-19. But I did have the fever. And I did feel pretty beat up.
Right. Well, so you might have had actually COVID-19. But now you
don't. Well, then I'm immune and I can save someone else.
Well, let's check you out.
Nice.
Well, there is tests, speaking about that, there is tests now that are available to check the immunity against COVID-19. So it is very interesting. Your doctor can do it in their office and or send to a lab, and it determines whether you had COVID-19 in the past and whether you are immune. So the tests are becoming much more interesting and sophisticated.
Right now they have the test that will show the antibodies within the first 2 weeks that show up after you've recovered, which is the IgM. And
or during the infection.
Or during the infection. Those are antibodies that can be picked up and they stay up to a month. But the ones that are permanent are the IgG, and soon they're going to come out with a test that picks up on both antibodies.
Right, there are tests like that right now.
Or there is. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
Yeah, it's interesting because the tests are just developing. There is a test to determine whether you have the virus in your body, and a test whether you have the immunity, how your body reacts to it.
So let me shoot some questions at you that some people have been curious about.
Sure.
Can cats and dogs spread the disease?
No. That I know. And there is no definitive proof that that's happening.
And yes, I've mentioned that children can catch the disease. It's not common, but they can. Do hand dryers kill the virus?
No. See, there is these idiotic videos in YouTube and other places that show the people blowing a hair dryer in your nose, but the only thing you can do is actually hurt yourself.
It'll feel warm to your nose.
Oh, well.
That's about it. Will gargling some substances kill the virus? Like I heard something about vinegar and something else.
No, likely. Please don't gargle stuff that can be very harmful to you. Like I heard some people are doing bleach. That's very dangerous and you will not kill the virus.
But it doesn't hurt to gargle mouthwash.
Mouthwash is important, yes.
Can antibiotics kill the virus? No, because it's a virus.
Nope.
Not a bacteria.
Oh, you're answering your question. That's really cool.
You can tell he gave me the questions. Will thermometers detect everybody infected?
No, because you don't need to really have fever for this disease. Only a certain percentage of people do have fever.
Can parcels spread coronavirus?
Well, that's a very good question. Like if it travels for several days, weeks, no. But if it travels for a day or two, maybe. So you need to be careful when you open it and wash your hands and kind of try to clean it.
Well, they suggest that when you order things and the boxes come to your house, leave them outside for what, about 3 hours? Is that what you do?
Well, yeah, and that depends, unless you have like groceries that are really sensitive.
Obviously. But, you know, do leave the box outside. Open it outside and bring the things inside. Wipe them down and wash your hands.
Yes.
The safest way.
Always wash your hands.
Can you catch coronavirus from eating Chinese food?
No.
Who was thinking that?
There is some morons on the internet.
Is it true that the coronavirus is the deadliest virus known to men?
Totally not true. There is viruses and bacteria that are much more deadly. It's just this is very infectious and infects a lot of people. Hence, more people are getting sick. And because it's new to us, that's why a lot of people are getting sick at the same time.
They say you can get infected from just speaking to someone. It could still be communicable that way.
Yeah.
Will some vaccines like flu and pneumonia vaccines protect you against COVID-19?
No, even if you can get pneumonia because of COVID, that's not the same pneumonia vaccine that is available. Oh, we're almost finishing with today's show. Only a few minutes left.
Well, then let me say thank you to our audio producer, Jasper, for being with us today, for making the show sound good and making the music possible. And thanks to the Christian car guy, Robbie Dillmore, for his continuing guidance. Check out his show. It's pretty awesome. I want to say thank you to the very special people that are on the front lines, the first responders, the nurses, doctors, all other medical staff, firefighters, paramedics, state troopers, army personnel, and police officers. And with that said, I wanted to read a post which my aunt reposted. She is a nurse. I'm a graduate nurse, but she's actually active. To the nurse who was fired for wearing their own mask, to the nurse who has been told they'll be written up for not adhering to hospital policy, to the nurse who has been told they can trust policy because it's based on CDC guidelines, to the nurse that has worked 4, 5, 6, 7 consecutive 12-hour shifts, to the nurse who's supposed to get married soon, to the nurse who has a spouse also on the front lines, to the nurse who was verbally assaulted on their way to work, to the nurse who was physically assaulted by a patient when they got there, to the nurse who hasn't hugged or kissed their family in weeks, to the nurse who has no child care but must report to work, to the nurse who is pregnant and feels guilty for not accepting COVID cases, to the nurse who is immunocompromised but can't help but feel like she's failing for core workers, to the nurse who watches some people on the outside defy social distancing recommendations, to the nurse who has skin breakdown from prolonged mask use, to the nurse who has just graduated and is in the very first year of nursing, to the nurse who has been denied COVID testing, to the nurse who is a single parent and has had to send their kid away to live with relatives, to the nurse who only shed tears in the shower so that it can drain with the water, to the nurse who has no food or drink their entire shift, to the nurse who is diabetic and now their glucose is low, to the nurse who is skilled in operating the ventilators, to the nurse who wonders what was the point of all those ethic papers back in nursing school, to the nurse being bombarded by media to make statements about their experience, to the nurse who works on a unit that does not have pulse ox cords in some of the rooms, to the nurse who was told they can no longer need N95 per CDC, to these nurses who just gave themselves a cardiac beat prep talk they can go back out there to the nurse who told them has told or heard patient with suspected COVID patients because there's just no more space.
And many more.
And many more. We are with you. Her name is Sandra. She's a nurse. Thank you, Sandra, for sharing. To all the nurses in the world, she
Thank
says, I feel you.
Take care with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.